Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am, as always, deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this third day of January 2021. Whole new world, a whole new existence is opening up. And I thought it would be fun to look at some of the questions I've gotten. These questions were offered to me about 6 weeks ago or so. So I have kind of piecemealed them together to make a subject that I think might be congruent to what's going on in the minds of a lot of people. A lot of change now on the horizon here. And for a lot of people, the idea of the vaccine, change in government a little bit here with a new president and all of that, it can look ominous to a lot of people. So nonetheless, less than none, here I am going to offer to you some real insight on the subject, I hope, and I hope it sticks. So the real question is, how can I live? How can I live in the environment I'm in? How can I live in this world that I live in? And the kind of the political and social mores have changed. They have changed drastically. We see the cats out of the bag. The whole idea of right and wrong, good and bad, that most people lived by, now does not exist. We're in a chaos. We're divided. It's a lot worse than politicians would have us believe. So how do you live in a world where there is such great diversity? And I'm not talking about the diversity that would bring about freedom, insight, compassion, love, things like that. I'm talking about the diversity that usually causes mayhem, revolt, deep issues with each other. We have a lot of things going on inside, things that go on within our inner being that we don't ever talk about. Some of us don't even know what's going on. So when we look at all of this falderall that we go through in our life, it makes it hard to live. I have found, one of the things I have found in people in general, this is a general thing, is that a lot of people are so confused by what is going on in their life, so confused about the way things are happening in their world, that they don't really know how to live in this world. They just don't know how. So it is important, I think, for all of us to understand the nature of our life and what we're here for, a deeper purpose, a significance. And I have some ideas about that that just might help some of you. And please understand, I don't say these things to massage the public in the sense of gathering the majority of you. I'm not interested in the majority point of view or the majority kind of person, the pedestrian mentality. I'm really not. I am interested in those of you who want to maybe take another venue, another road, a road really, really less traveled. And therefore, what you're going to hear me say is not conventional. It will be nonsensical to some of you, and it won't jive with your genetic nature. And be that as it may, that is Aspire. So I hope that, you know, for those of you who want the status quo or think that you're above it all, you're excused. But for those of you who are looking for some authenticity, I hope to be able to serve you well with all of this. First question. This comes from Frank. He does not tell me where he lives. How can we live in the conditions of our condition in this country without losing the self as you talk about it? Frank. The whole idea of overcoming the condition of the condition and living in this world is to lose the self. It is the self, the idea I have a self. that makes everything so doggone difficult. And that's why we suffer the way we do. What is a self? Let's talk about it a little bit. What is a self? What is the self? Well, it has to do with a lot of different things. It's genetic by nature, and it's comprised of genetics, impulses from the human body, the ones that are most prevalent, testosterone in men, estrogen in women, the way we handle the chemistry of our body and how we react to it, how we react to our instincts. All these things perpetrate the self, make up a self. Your inclination to have a self that looks or talks like this, this, and this is based on your genetic heritage. You're just like your father, or you're just like your mother, or you resemble your father, that kind of thing. And that's what people do. That's the way they think. They think in terms of genetics. And most people are more interested in supporting their genetic nature than they are in the real individuality of becoming awakened, being influenced not by hate, not by survival, but by love. Now, this is totally different than the way we live our lives when we're in genetic disposition. This self that you talk about is one that has been manufactured by ego, by the emperor of all malice that lives within us, which is, believe it or not, the human heart. And all of this is going on and on and on, as it were, creating within people all sorts of ideas and mischiefs of malice. So when you start to think about the idea of how do I preserve the self, how do I keep it, and the difference between keeping the self and relenting to it, its needs, its desires, its whole thing, and stepping away from that whole mixture of ideas and beliefs, theories, rights, wrongs, goods, bad. When you think about stepping away from that and quote unquote losing yourself, there is how you live in this world. Otherwise, you butt your head up against other people's selves. You start disliking other people's selves. You start disliking the whole thing, fighting, complaining, bitching, moaning about the whole thing, and thinking that other people are your problem. Other people are not our problems. They're not. The problem is who we believe we are, what we believe we are, how we want to be perceived, how we think right will overcome wrong, how we think that our idea of a good life or life in general and how life should be propagates itself inside of us through hate and anger via our genetics, and then goes out into the world and starts becoming a point of hate, a point of contact with those who agree with us in that hatred. It isn't hard, Frank, to go and find people who agree on hate. It just is not difficult at all. You can find that anywhere you want. But to find that which distinguishes between hate and life, hate and fear, can only be made in love. You have to see the futility factor. And that's the problem with most of us. We don't have that futility yet, that sense of futility. We are futile, and what we do is futile. What we think, say, and do is futile. We keep that futility going on and on and on, and we miss. So our whole life is a miss. Our whole life is about how to get what we want, how to survive. And your basic question here is about survival. It isn't about harmony. It isn't, you didn't ask me, how do I fall into harmony with life? How do I reckon with love? How do I live in the compassion of love? You aren't interested in that. You want to know how to strategically place yourself in a position where your behavior, yourself, can get you what you want. Now, you may not have thought that when you wrote me this long email, but that's really what it was all about, defending your position, your psychology, which is not based in love. Nobody's psychology is based in love. Mine is not based in love. My psychology, like yours, like everyone's, is based in survival. And then we, like a Christmas tree, glitter it all up with lights and Christmas bulbs and tinsel and make it look like we're doing this for the preservation of the world when it's only the preservation of the ego, the self, that we're really doing this for. So when Jesus said there will always be wars and rumors of wars, that's what he was talking about. He was saying this is how it's done. This idea of hate and anger is going to go on and on and on, and it isn't going to stop because you and I want it to, or you and I think it should. It doesn't stop. It builds on itself more and more and more as time goes on. Before you know it, you're caught in the milieu of it all. So there you are, my friend. You got to lose it. Yeah. You got to lose the part of you think is so essential. And that's the survival mechanism. And frankly speaking, not many people are going to do that, if any. And that becomes one of the bigger problems of this world and our own life. I know that's probably not what you wanted to hear, or it has anything to do with anything you might say you believe in, but nonetheless, it's a fact of life that most people just cannot deal with. They can't go there with this. They just can't live in love. Living in love requires a great sacrifice to to the human being. Please forgive me. Please. Namaste. These kind of questions I always like because they force me to say to you, here it is. Here is the great difficulty. And it's sad. I look at humanity, it never learns. It just never learns. And you would think after all the thousands of years that humankind has been here, we would learn something, but we only learn the knowledge that takes us as far away from our authentic self as possible, and we miss how beautiful all of this really is in the course of a lifetime, and it really is quite beautiful, and we just miss it. We just don't care. Next question. I need to get back to normal. This is from Kathy in Texas. Could you please give some suggestions? Help, she says, Kathy from Texas. Kathy, I've said this before, and I still get a lot of emails, so I guess people aren't listening to what I'm saying, so they just ask the questions they ask and they go on the way they do. You need to get back. What is normal? I mean, you know, we're going to be wearing a mask for a while and we're going to need to be careful, social distance. There's a lot of things that are going to need to happen. And the normal is what brought all this on. All right, my lackadaisical attitude maybe about my body, my life, my relationship. You know, what's normal? People want to get back to their habits. That's all it really is. They want to get back to drinking. Drinking is huge in this country. Booze is huge. They want to get back to the bar. They want to start drinking again. They want to get drunk. They want to hang around their friends. and just drink and let their inhibitions fly. And they're frustrated. They don't know how to deal with their frustrations. They don't know what their frustrations really are all about. They don't care. They just want something to wash away the pain or wash away the anger. Everybody tries to wash away their disgust for their life and themselves. They don't really understand that that's what they're doing, but that's what they're doing. So with all this being said, it's very hard for the ego to hear how wrong it has been, as Fonzie would say, how desperately wrong it's been. So we drink. People drink. I don't drink, but people drink. They like to get high, or they like to use marijuana, or they like to use drugs, whatever is your shtick. And, you know, it's just, I know people. I know a few people who drink a lot. And I'll tell you, honestly, they're one toke over the line sometimes. But, you know, when they drink, they're actually nicer people than when they don't drink. Hate to say that. But what happens is, for a little bit, there is that little time period. My uncle was like that. He used to drink. And he was always a nicer person after two or three beers. But if he got to the fourth beer, he wasn't fun to be around anymore. So that was done. But you have to understand, if you don't like yourself as you are without bringing in a foreign substance that makes you, let's say, a person that you normally are not, that frees you of the inhibitions of your whatever, your frustrations, your hate, your anger, and just lets them fly, you're not doing well in this world. So don't think you are. Don't think that by living in that manner, you're doing well. And that has a lot to do with normal. Normal for a lot of people is just whimsical living, as I call it, where they don't really understand who or what they are. They don't understand where they are in this world, much less in their life. They go through routines mindlessly. They get up in the morning, get the kids off to school because they don't really want to be around their own kids for very long. And they just want to shove them off on the school system. And then they want to go about doing their life the way they want to do their life, with the comfort and the supposed security that they have in the group, the herd mentality, where they live in a herd, as a herd, and they kind of move around in that, and they know they're not alone. It's simple, and yet it's very complicated. So back to normal. If this pandemic has done anything, it challenges us to return to our livingness with a new sense of reality. The gravitas of death, the gravitas of life and death, and what's beyond life and death as we know it here on Earth. There's lots of questions that we are being challenged by and challenged for, and they're good questions. Why are we here? What is death? What is life? How should we be living when we know that we have a very short shelf life? We don't really see what's going on, nor do we care to. And now I feel that a lot of people, after their genetics take over, they don't have what it takes to inwardly deal with the real life questions. They don't have it. That is long gone. And now they're stuck with their conventional mind coming up with whatever. Some people use the traditional way, some people, as I call it, the kung fu way, you know, where they think they've become Kane and the TV program Kung Fu, and they're anything but that. They don't get it. And the mind can manufacture with the ego all the evidence it needs to do whatever it needs to do and believe whatever it needs to believe. Because basically, our body is a survival mechanism, and we don't want to see our body for what it is, but it is a survival mechanism, and that's all it's about. And we adapt to that mentally, emotionally, and psychologically. And in doing so, we have created the persona of us and entered into some real ugly things that most people just don't get. They really don't. So what can I say to you, Kathy? Help. Wake up. Go back to normal. Hopefully never. Transcend normal. Go into something more profound, more about love, authentic love, not emotional love. Search, seek, realize what this world is all about, what you're here for, and maybe even how you got here. Well, please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Thomas. He does not tell me where he lives. What to do about seeing this world for what it is and maybe even saving it? Can I save it, Thomas? Not for one moment can any of us think in terms of saving this world. That's not what this world is about, and it's not what your lifetime is about. Your lifetime isn't about saving the world or saving yourself. It is about letting go of the world and letting go of yourself and finding a cause within your living that gives presence to the state of love that you are. Now, once you understand the gravitas of that, the meaning of that, you will find significance in your life. I can give you right now the whole meaning of this world, this life. I'll give it to you. It won't mean anything to you, but I can give it to you. We are here in this world, in this lifetime, to return to source. Everything returns to source. And that's what we're here to do. And to understand the complications of that, returning to source through the ego, through the emperor of all malice, is a terrible mistake that we make. And most of us make it, and happily. In fact, we would rather choose that than the direct path. It is all through love. We are here to return to the source of love. That's it. So if you're going to do something magnificent with your life, which I hope you do, don't be worried about saving the world or saving yourself. Be very focused on what the world needs now. As Jackie DeShannon sang in the 60s, it is love. But not emotional love, not human love. We are here to return to the source of life itself that we have negated and forgotten. And we have done so willfully and mentally and emotionally. We have placed in front of ourselves ideals and beliefs and theories and concepts and conjectures that have absolutely nothing to do with the authentic meaning of our life and returning to source, which is love, the ultimate source. But it's not the love we know. Words like God and love and Christ, I'm doing a series on Christ consciousness right now. It is very difficult for people to get beyond the speculative belief that they know about these things based on a word that triggers within them religious connotations. It's very difficult. But if you can get beyond the religious connotation and into the magnificence of what it means to enter into an authentic spiritual practice, you would find, Thomas, it isn't about saving the world. It is about recognizing the world we live in and then transcending it. I'm out of here. Thank you for your question, Thomas, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. our first weekend in 2021. I hope it was helpful to you. We'll be back on the air next week. Have a beautiful weekend, and please forgive me. Namaste.